Johnny, you got that.
Hello and welcome to the first episode, the inaugural episode of Untitled Podcast about movies. So we do have a guarantee here for you. We will have a name for this podcast by the end. It will be stunning. It will be amazing. It will be well thought out and we will reference it many times throughout the podcast before we get it. That's a guarantee. The concept of this podcast is we take a movie every episode and we do a vague kind of review, but ultimately we have a bunch of crazy segments where we use those segments to think about the movie in new ways and hopefully have a bit of fun. That's the podcast. Today I am joined by my very good friends
Zach
and
Sam,
and my name's Hayden, and we will be your hosts for this and every other podcast we do. We're not going to tell you what the first movie is in straight away. You're going to have a chance to guess it. What we're going to do, the first segment is called the 20 word review or synopsis. Who would like to go first?
I'll do it.
All right. So hit us up with your 20 word review / synopsis, and audience, see if you can guess which movie we are reviewing.
Okay. Deranged man kills many people, and two detectives try to find and look in box.
There's some hints in there. There's definitely some hints about the movie. Anyone who's seen this movie may already have it on that one. Sam, do you want to hit us up?
Alrighty, so let's go. Malcontent man undertakes ambitious project in redecorating people's viscera. He is ultimately successful and detectives end up struggling to catch.
All right, that was good. That was good. All right, that feels like two very hard acts to follow. Let's see how we go. All right, so buddy cop movie with big stars, track serial killer who dang loves Bible. So much so, five words less, that kills people lots.
I think that's 20.
Full stop.
I think that was 20 already.
All right, well, but yeah, I mean, I'll use the last one on a full stop, so.
You did say dang Bible, right?
I didn't say dang
Bible.
Yeah,
good. I think that was 20. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, that's two words. Dang Bible, two words.
Yeah.
You could put a hyphen if you want.
Yeah, you could hyphenate the whole thing.
All right, so
It's a schism of, like, this Catholicism, Christianity, Protestantism. There's the dang Christianity.
It's a holistic way. There's lots of different variants, but that dang Bible is the way we make sure that it's Christianity as a whole. Do you think to yourself whether you know it? Now you've had some time to think about what the movie was. I'm going to reveal that the movie was called Seven. That's 1995 Seven, directed by David Fincher, who also directed Fight Club and Gone Girl and many other gritty movies that were very similar to that. And the storyline takes us through two homicide detectives played by Morgan Freeman and Brad Pitt, who desperately hunt for a serial killer played by Kevin Spacey, who justifies his crimes as absolution for the world's ignorance of the seven deadly sins. So that's the movie. That's what we're going to be talking about all today. And on to the next segment.
Tell me you got that.
We're going to start with that. Not a traditional review, but we're actually going to jump straight into a really weird and wacky segment. The segment is called M. Night Shyamalan Remix. And the concept behind this is we think about the movie and we go, okay, movie Seven, What would be a crazy M. Night Shyamalan style twist at the ending? What's the twist that we could put on the end that would make it a M. Night Shyamalan movie? So, Sam, you're looking at me like you want to run through yours. So, hit us. What's your crazy twist?
Okay, well, I'll jump in. So, the one that I everything in the, every idea that I came up with revolved around what could be in the box at the end.
Of course.
And so in the spirit of M. Night Shyamalan, my idea was that Brad Pitt opens up the box and then looks in and it's a meal, like a plate, dinner, whatever. And,
like a roast meal? Like what?
Could be a roast meal, yeah.
Like a chicken with like really nice tied things, or is it like a shit meal?
It could work either as both. Really up to up to the director's choice there.
Yeah.
But and then
essentially, Shyamalan.
Yeah, of course.
It's up to him.
Whatever, I'm sure M. Night Shyamalan will know the way to go with this one. But and
he,
then
he prefers M. Shell, by the way.
Oh yeah, so Shell.
M. Shell, M. Shell.
But essentially the world falls apart around him as he looks at this meal, and it turns out he's in a jail cell and it's his last meal. He's on death row and he was the one who did all the murders, and Morgan Freeman's his cellmate. Is that what you call it? Yeah, cellmate.
Yeah.
Who's in prison? Mills.
And so Kevin Spacey is the prison guard, and it doesn't make much sense, but for an M. Night Shyamalan.
I mean, that's par for the course. Yeah.
That's absolutely a twist that fellow would put on there. Yeah. So who was in prison though? It was Mills, did you say?
So yeah, Mills is in prison, and Morgan Freeman is with him. Not the Morgan Freeman, but the character he plays. Or Morgan Freeman. I know that could be the.
He could have done some heinous shit.
It's a documentary. It's a fucking documentary.
He's he's like Morgan Freeman's researching for a role, and like that's what he's doing there. He's just
and this crazy stuff unfolding around him. That's amazing, Zach.
Yeah,
hit us with yours.
So here's mine. It's not half baked at all. It's very it's very well fleshed out. I've got it all figured out.
It sounds like it's gonna be good.
So my initial thought, I just rolled with it, and it like immediately didn't think twice, was that Somerset was in on the killings. He was K Space's like partner in crime, and the backstory is that the junkie that Mills shot in his like earlier years, when he was talking about when he like discharged his weapon one time, that junkie was actually Somerset's best friend back in the day, and John Doe's brother.
Oh shit!
And so they hatched a plan to get him back. I don't know why it would be so elaborate, the whole deadly sins thing.
It sounds cool.
But I'm going to say that John Doe had like a flair for the dramatic, and
so five innocent people died.
Yeah, he still wanted to make a statement. Like, he's still insane. John Doe was still insane, right?
Yeah, okay, right.
And he just thought, oh, well, I was going to do this anyway.
I'll throw him a bone, let him kill five people. And then we'll get to revenge.
So does Somerset know that that's kind of the plan, the seven deadly sins? Or is it kind of John Doe going off on a kind of...
No, Somerset's in on it completely.
Completely.
They planned it together.
They planned it together. Right?
Well, but like Somerset's job was just to like slow Brad Pitt down so he didn't catch him or anything. And as you can see in the scene where they find his apartment.
Oh.
And then Somerset's, no, we can't go in there without a warrant.
Hmm.
That's right.
So he slows him down there.
Yeah.
You know?
And then I think if you look closely, he's actually got his phone to the side. He's like really quickly texting John, like, don't come here.
Yeah, obviously he didn't.
Put the hamster back in the wheel, and I don't know what that means.
Code for don't go to your house.
Yeah, don't come back.
Yeah.
Hayden, let's have yours.
All right, so you kind of stole my thunder a little bit. But my concept is John Doe is an atheist, really, who actually hates Christianity. And all the victims are actually animatronic robots. Like animatronic robots / puppets. And depending on the severity of the crime, they're either animatronic robots or puppets. It's like there's only so much budget he's got for these things. Anyway, including Tracy at the end.
Oh.
Mills is...
So this goes way back.
Who is the world's most advanced and first AI/robot. Planted to be Mills's wife 15 years ago when they were high school sweethearts.
Oh wow!
Is
she controlled by
Morgan John
Freeman?
Doe?
Oh,
by John
okay.
Doe
oh, okay.
and Morgan Freeman. They're in on it together. Right. If you actually look closely, if you read the actual movie closely, you'll realize that it's not actually like R-rated. It's actually PG because no one actually dies. It's all animatronic robots. So children actually allowed to watch this movie because they're not real.
Which means that every R-rated movie, people actually are committing to sacrificing themselves.
That's right. What else would it be?
All for the benefit of film.
And so really the plot is that John Doe wants to... basically make people hate Christianity by having the seven deadly sins, and when it breaks and when it actually breaks the story in the newspapers, And they go through all the seven deadly sins. People like hate Christianity now, and it's abolished, it's outlawed, and John Donne wins. And no one was harmed. Only animatronic robots and puppets.
Just like whenever like somebody crashes a car, they're like, I hate whoever invented cars. I want them to die.
Exactly. Exactly. Hate the player, not the game.
I'm realizing now that mine was not nearly as wacky enough.
Yours could actually happen. Yours is like
it's too plausible. It's not M. Night enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay.
You really dropped the ball there.
I really
effed pick
that
up your
one
game.
Up.
Really effed in the
yeah
air.
Mine's so meat and potatoes in comparison.
Tell me you got that. Alright, so the next one, next wacky segment is recast, good cast, bad cast. The concept here is that if we're reviewing a good movie then and with good actors, then we replace the good actors with bad actors, and vice versa. So I'd say that we're replacing good actors with bad actors.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I was going to say something like I couldn't replace good actors with bad actors. No, wait, the other way around. Bad actors with good actors, because there was no shit.
Yeah, you could say Gwyneth Paltrow, maybe.
But she wasn't a big enough role, I think, to even warrant such treatment. So.
That's right. Yeah.
And I mean, for today's audience, maybe Kevin Spacey to make
it
marketable.
You don't want him in anything if you can avoid it.
That's right. Maybe I'll go first.
Yeah, go on.
Because I'm in control here, it feels like. So I did Chris Tucker as Will Somerset. So I can imagine, like, every time he finds a victim, he's like, damn!
Just completely zaps the, like, drama and gravity from the situation.
Exactly. So it's really undermining the film the whole way.
Yeah.
And the other kind of ism that he does, because I don't actually really know Chris Tucker very well, but, I mean, I know you guys do, personally, but I don't. Yeah, I was thinking, like, you know Chris Tucker in Fifth Element, right? How he plays really the radio presenter, and he's real kind of Ruby Rod, and he's really, like, flamboyant. So what his trademark thing is, when someone's annoying, he goes, zzz, zzz. So, like, you imagine him in the car when they're having that real intense conversation between John Doe, Mills, and Somerset. Every time, like, David gets really fired up, he's like, zzz, zzz.
Yeah, and also with the first crime scene, the gluttony one.
Yeah, exactly. Zzz, get out of here.
Is he also like an animatronic robot in some way?
This is separate to that, but he can be. It's really, I mean, he kind of appears like that. He's kind of a parody of himself in most things he's in. But yes, so that's that.
What else you got?
I got David Spade, but David Spade as Joe Dirt. With like a massive mullet and like no shirt, but like a denim jacket with cut off sleeves as Mills. And really, it's mainly just like David Spade being crap, being a horrible actor, carrying a mop around.
Unlike
Joe Dirt. Yeah. Well, no, it's him as Joe Dirt. So in that, he's a janitor. He carries a mop everywhere. Yeah. And he's like really aggressive all the time, but he gets pushed over and makes like real weedy noises. So like
can you give
scene,
us a weedy noise? That
I will in a sec. If you give me some space, mate.
God, give me a sec.
So you know when they're in the chase scene between John Doe and Mills down the alleyway, and then like he basically punches John Doe punches Mills in the head and he falls around. He'd be like. So just those kind of mannerisms.
And really play for comedy that way. Just like, ah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's real. Again, it's all about undercutting the seriousness of the thing. And then I had, this one's a bit crap, but Christopher Walken as John Doe. And like not good Christopher Walken, bad Christopher Walken. I don't really have anything for that. All I can think of is like, there's somewhere he works into his lines, two sinners fall into a blood of Christ. And that's all I had. It's pretty bad.
Some would argue there is no bad Christopher Walken, though. So
yeah. Oh, look,
careful with that.
Well, he plays the same weird guy in every movie he's in,
and nails it.
He refuses to change his intonation in any movie.
The directors beg him, but he's always
just maybe give this one like separate these words differently. No.
It's not
I'm
going to
do a hard pause here, and I'm going to start up in 3 seconds on this word.
Bennett, hit us.
Oh, yeah, let's go. So.
Take your time.
What the fuck? Oh, yeah, here we go. So I've got Jonah Hill instead of K-Space. Because of, I don't know, he's just got a face, a baby face, and he's never too serious in any of his roles. And I don't think I could take him seriously as this genius serial killer that Kevin Spacey plays.
He plays like some serious roles though. So he, is there like a movie version of him that you're thinking about, or is it just him as an actor with his level of diversity? You're like, you can't do it.
Super bad maniac.
So it'd be like, he's serious in Maniac.
He's serious in
Moneyball.
Yeah.
And the Wolf of Wall Street, more or less. But no, like even when he's serious, he's still like, you don't look at him and go serial killer. Like I'm not buying any of the stuff that he would be
saying.
He's
always winking at the camera to be like, it's me.
Yeah, I'm not really a serial killer. Just in case anyone was wondering.
He doesn't
want
that bad PR.
Has he lost a lot of weight for this role, or is he?
No, he's like peak largeness.
Because he must be a pro at like slimming down. And
yeah, he's a real puffer fish in terms of just ballooning up when he needs to.
So let's say like
that's the technical term.
No, just his typical larrikin type role, but even a serious one, I still wouldn't
putting
mind.
On
it. I'd still be bad, poorly cast. I think.
Who else you got?
Jim Carrey for Somerset. So like, yeah, Somerset's like he's kind of seen it all. He's a bit grizzled. He's like he's over it. He's done. But then Jim Carrey, I don't know. Everything's a joke to this guy. He walks in, sees a crime scene, you just start cracking jokes. Like
does all his Ace Ventura type lines, like really, like you gotta kill him that way.
Exactly, you're getting it. So that's Jim Carrey.
I'm just imagining that scene where he's like realizing in Ace Ventura Pet Detective the original, where he's realizing that there's like soundproof door on the balcony, and they're talking about how they possibly couldn't know that he was being like the neighbors couldn't hear him. Anyway, long story short, he's got the opening and closing door going, oh, and like, anyway, so I'm imagining that scene somewhere in Seven.
Or doing the speaking out of his ass, literally.
Oh, yeah. Just like when the guy's like covered in bed sores or whatever, and he's like, oh my God, he's alive. And he's like talking through his butt.
Insists on telling the families of the victims that because he thinks like that's like a therapy puppet style method of delivering. It's like, didn't make it. Yeah.
to a phone.
Yeah.
But actually, that people on the other end of the phone don't even know he's doing it. It's not really helping his situation. Yeah. Makes him feel better though. Who else you got, Ben?
Yeah, I got Jack Nicholson for Detective Mills. Just because he's an old guy. And that would be hilarious. Especially,
but he's acting.
And he's
like
a rookie.
Basically, in any scene, it would be hilarious, I think. But in particular, that chase scene, just Jack Nicholson hobbling from the get go, would be great to see.
Does he act exactly like as not naive, but as like as kind of fresh faced as Brad Pitt does?
But
like,
he's not fresh faced in the movie.
Yeah.
He's a seasoned detective.
But he's still kind of the more... Is he the more hopeful one, kind of? Like, he's still...
Yeah, he wants to... He's got something to prove.
He's much... He's much more... he's got a shorter fuse.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's... So, yeah, he'd be doing exactly the same character, like, that Brad Pitt did. Except
nothing
he's
changes.
Just really old.
So, just does not... So, the hilarity is that it just does not fit. The casting just purely polarization.
That's right, doesn't fit.
Have we done all the... Have you done yours?
No, it's O'Neill. He's going to do his.
So, my choice for David Brad Pitt's character would be Rodney Dangerfield. Just because it just doesn't fit in any way, shape, or form. And I can't see him as a primarily comedian who does, like, one-liners being, like, fit for the role.
Did Dangerfield even do movies?
He did. He did one where it was in the like.
Did one line the whole time.
I think that might have been what it. It was in one where he's like a. He goes to college and he's the only like he's in his 40s or something, and that's like part of the like premise of the movie. But he's the. Do you know who?
Is he the guy on The Simpsons where he's like Monty Burns' son?
Yeah.
It's getting hot in here. He grabs his collar. That's his main move is like something, grab collar and jerk it to the side and say some quip.
If you look at any of his shirts in any of the scenes he's in, they're always tattered and all beyond repair.
It costs wardrobe millions of dollars. It blew out the budget of any movie or TV show.
His wife's like, Rodney, I keep telling you, you gotta stop tugging at your shirts. I can't keep up.
We're losing so much money on polos, they're going.
It was like they started like sewing in like aluminium just to like the one side.
patterned the whole shirt.
He's got some sort of shock, like, set up, like, shock collar type thing, so, like, on, like, barbed wire there, so he can't grab
to
it.
To condition him to change his ways. Oh, jeez, this thing keeps shocking me. I can't catch a break.
Just makes him reach back for another tug, because he's like, oh, what's my outlet now? And so, essentially, just zap the, like, gravity from every situation he's in. Like, oh, boy, this guy isn't faring too well. Oh, boy, Burnsy. So bad one for Detective Somerset would be Rob Schneider, or I had two, John Cryer or Rob Schneider, both just because no way, shape or form do they fit that role in any way. Like, John Cryer, I don't see being like the leader in any situation. He's more kind of like the lackey kind of guy.
Who's John Cryer?
Is the other guy, not Charlie Sheen from Two and a Half Men. I should have said
that. Oh, that guy. Yeah, okay. So he's just the underfoot type character. He's like the Jerry of everything that he's ever in. Yeah.
Who was your second one? Sorry.
Rob Schneider.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I'll go with Rob Schneider as my main pick. So, like, just somebody who, again, I don't know. I don't think he's ever been in anything serious. If he has, he hasn't been like any main integral.
Not convincing.
Yeah. And just doing like really tacky lines, like jokes along the way that like really, again, like ruin the situation. And for my John Doe, I go Tom Hanks, just because he's way too lovable and known. Like, they'd be like, really? You sure you're the guy who did all this? Like, I feel like you're kind of a sweetheart. I don't know. Like, America's most beloved character, like, actor.
Yeah, you'd be like rooting for him the whole time.
Yeah,
kill that woman or something. Not good.
Tell me you got that.
We are on to our next segment called Eagle Eye Shia LaBeouf Award. Is that how you say his last name? Who cares? He's not famous.
Let's go with LaBeouf.
LaBeouf, yeah, that's the one. So the style, the mood, the thing we're going for here is that we all have intently watched this movie, being Seven, and found a specific thing in that movie that we're going to quiz each other on. And this is definitely not trivia. It's somehow different. I'm not quite sure how it's different, but it's not trivia.
Because the segment's called Eagle Eye.
Eagle Eye, yeah, it's not trivia. Yeah. It's Eagle Eye. Bennett, you seem to have many questions, so maybe...
Yeah, all right. So after I say this, you've got 10 seconds to write in your answer, and then show me.
Can we just do the honourable, or do we have to?
Let's do honourable. Let's write it down and just... We'll...
God, you really don't trust us. That's pretty...
Trust you to...
All right, write it down, we'll show you. Write it down, show you.
All right, buddy, write it down.
Did not copy the other person.
Yeah. All right, here it is.
Stops copies me.
What is Tracy and Detective Mills' apartment number?
Oh, boy.
It looks like a 305 to me, but that's just a guess.
Show me your answers. 801 for Hayden, 305 for Sam. You're both way off. It's 5A.
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 Sounds like algebra to me. Okay. Looking for the 7. I was going 801, 8 minus 1.
That's 7. A. So points
you
for
should,
a style.
You did say number. Did you mention that there was a letter?
I thought about this, but you still call it an apartment number.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
So don't try and fuck me over with
so
that.
So what do I get? Half a point?
No, you don't get anything. You get style points, which are worthless.
Half a point for having none of your numbers match any of the things
there. Love it. Fucking love it.
I may as well just ask my other question.
Let's do that.
What's the name of the leather store they visit shortly after discovering John Doe's apartment? They make that sex toy that with the big solid knife on it. Boy.
What was the intended use of that blade
knife dildo
of that knife dildo?
He fucked it to death.
The guy who made it for him, what do you think?
It's a sick sad world. He just makes whatever he's told.
That's exactly, and it was weird though, because I don't really explain it, because he's like, why would you make this? And he's like, I've made way weirder stuff than this. I'm like, what's weirder than that?
There can't be that much weirder than that.
No.
How could you utilize it to any extent without any harm coming to a person?
I think
it'd just be like, oh, here's this thing I have. I don't think you'd be using it. Anyway, you've had more than 10 seconds.
Just to feel protected. It's more for...
I like to carry it with me when it's late at night. I feel safe. All right, show me. Stop writing. Show me. So we've got Blade Dildos R Us from Sam.
There's a common theme here.
And I've got Larry Leather Boys R Us from Hayden.
So that's half a point?
I guess you both get half a point. No, you don't. You get 0. It was called Wild Bill's Leather.
That's generic. Half a point for one word, maybe. I don't know.
What, just say leather, the one that was in the
maybe
question?
Maybe that can be the... That can decide if it's at a tie, maybe, if we're getting partly out of it.
What was your answer?
Blade dildos are us.
Okay, yeah.
But I had are us, and Hayden had one
so
word correct.
So you both should get half a point.
Mine overlaps partly with a correct, partly correct answer, so...
Yeah, so zero.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, that's me.
All right. So, my question is, I've got two questions. One is a good, well thought out one, and the other one is one that I made up 5 minutes before this. So, let's see how we go. Guess which one it is. All right, here we go. So, how many times does Mills shoot John?
Oh, that's good.
That's a tricky one.
Yeah. All right, show me. 7 from Zach and 4 from Sandy. Both wrong. It's 6.
Oh, come on!
It's terrible. It should be 7.
It should be 7, no?
Oh, yeah, it really should, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not.
And I had a feeling that those guns held 7 bullets, but I don't know shit about guns. So I don't even know why I thought 7.
So, next question.
I get half a point for being one off, though. And for saying the movie title in my answer.
Nah. Yep. Zero. Click at zero.
Come on.
Give me some.
All right. I think this is probably going to mean that I lose this because this is like the easiest question ever. What's the name of the act? Not the name of the actor, but there's an actor in the movie that plays a doctor in Scrubs.
Oh, yep. Got it.
What
already.
Is that yes. appears in the movie 7? What's the name of the doctor?
Wait,
the doctor
the name?
In the movie or
the doctor,
in Scrubs? Well, you got to be clear.
In Scrubs, what's his name?
Oh, okay.
Oh, right.
John Dorian.
Yeah. You both get a point. Dr. Cox is the answer there.
Yeah, so what's the actor's name? Because that would have got me.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've forgotten now. John
something. John C. McGinley.
Yeah, see, I basically got
all right,
it.
So I'd say give him that half point.
Come on, I said John. You can't be doing that. You can't be giving that extra fucking
you opened
half
the door.
You know, it's half a point.
I would have got
this is my not trivia round. So
I would have got
you one.
Oh, right. We're just giving out bullshit points. So
we are.
I give myself half a point.
No, it's too late. It's gone.
I had the power to do that, but now it's gone.
All right. While it's still mine, 1 million points. All right,
let's have some games.
So my first one is one that is gettable. So near the start of the movie, Brad Pitt is reading a book, and he's getting frustrated about it. And this is just before an officer comes to give him 3 more books. But while he's getting angry and upset while he's reading this one book, he says, "Fucking blank," and then says, goddamn poetry writing expletive piece of shit.
And what's the
what's the question?
The name, the title. Of
what's
the book?
Fucking blank? What is it? Who is he? Who's he cursing? The
he's
author?
Cursing an author, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was at the time, but oh man.
No, unfortunately, not. I won't say who it's not.
No, if you can't read it, that's on you, and I get a point.
I can't read it. That's a point for... No, not John Milton and not Ernest Hemingway. For
is Tom something?
Close. It was Dante.
What?
Dante what?
Dante. Like Dante from Dante's Inferno.
Right.
Like, yeah.
But this is the actor? He's not the... So it was not the author. It's the character. That's fine. You got
my mistake. Yeah.
So half a point each?
Yeah.
Yeah, we get half a point.
That sounds fair.
That's very fair.
All right, what's your next question?
All right. So, other one was... So keeping in the theme, so Dr. Cox plays a character in this. What's his character's name in the movie? What is he referred to? I don't think it's not his actual real character's name in the movie, but he's given, like, he's got a nickname. What's
he
nickname?
Gets referred to it.
He does. Song. And he's in the credits too.
Oh, I didn't look at the credits. No time for credits.
They say it at least once.
That's what I got.
Ooh. It's not Sarge and it's not Slick.
It's not Slick, are you sure?
It's California.
Yes. Yeah. Of course.
I still don't even remember.
I maybe
that.
Mostly noticed that because I had the subtitles on, and that might have been why I actually picked up on it. I might not.
So, I did say that this round is something you see, not something you hear. But that's fine. No, actually, I like it better if it's.
Well, I did
hear,
see the like... subtitle of it, so.
Yeah, that's kind of excluding words. People that didn't watch it with subtitles. That's not very fair.
Alright, what do we get? I got half a point, so I reckon I'm out.
I got half a point. And you got half a point.
Got...
Didn't some of us get a full point? No,
you
we got a full
I thought
point.
You got a full point.
Oh, for Dr. Cox.
Oh, we got Dr. Cox. Oh, so I got 1.5.
And then you got half a point, so yeah. I think it's Yeah.
1.5 each?
Oh, I don't think I got a half point.
I gave you an extra half point for knowing Dr. Cox's name.
Oh, okay.
That's a real half point.
Okay. Oh, so you got a full 1.5
yeah.
from that one question.
Yeah.
And I got 1.5 total and you got half.
All right. Is there,
I'm happy to ask the tie-breaking question between the three of us.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah. But you, for you to...
all right, hang on. I'll do a tie-break question. It's the one who can write it down properly. How is the name of the movie spelt in the movie poster? Whoever shows me first.
I was up first.
He was up first. So the movie title is spelt 7 S E 7.
Oh, actually, I'm going to have to say sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't.
Yeah.
But so you could have written it either way. But you did.
But you did. That's right. And I actually would have accepted that too. So there we go. Done.
Okay. So I will take home the Shia LaBeouf Award this week. Yes. And we have a nice trophy here. If only you guys could see it.
Full of sparkles. And there's a guy putting his hand up into the sky. And the other hand is hiding his crutch because he's worried that he's going to get hit in the nuts with something.
Yeah.
Not sure what it is.
Definitely. And he's screaming, Eagle Eye.
Yeah. Because Eagle Eyes always look like... All the x-ray from Eagle are always pulling out his junk and he's really worried. And he's trying, and he's, him and his wife are working really hard.
Yeah.
To conceive a trophy baby. Tell me you got that. On to the next one. So, sequel prequel is the next segment.
Oh, okay.
And this is where we come up with either a sequel or prequel that precedes or sequels.
But those who don't know, a prequel is... the sequel that comes before the main event. I'm pretty proud of this one. If it doesn't get the standard...
My expectations are at 11 right now.
Set them higher.
Okay.
Yeah.
11 out of 7. Just some crazy decimal points here.
That'll do, yeah. That's a safe height. And if I don't get a standing ovation for this one, including from the listener, I'll be very disappointed. So
I'm covered in cables here, man. I'm standing up.
It's so my one would be called, in the spirit of naming things in the way that Ocean's 11 does, it would be called 8, of course. And it would be kind of play like a bit like, has anybody seen America or know of the existence of American Psycho 2?
I know it exists, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, so just really big cash grab type movie. That's what this one is. And so essentially a lost biblical text is found that reveals eighth deadly sin that was previously unknown. And so Kevin Spacey, John Doe, comes back from the dead as a zombie to finish his work and kill an eighth person and finish his set. And the tagline would be, he is a perfectionist. Or it could be, dead guy, deadliest sins. And so he realizes, so the new sin could be something like, for example, wastefulness. And
very modern.
Yeah, they're really running out by that point, you can tell. And so essentially through a whole series of events, John Doe finds, just because like I've shoehorned this in somehow, thinks that Buddhist monks are super wasteful because they're not like really going out and enjoying life. They're really reclusive and they're not actually like living their lives. But in the course of events, he comes to learn that he's being wasteful and he's wasted so many other people's lives, and he does a whole conversion and realizes that he actually wants to... This tees up for the very ending and sets up for the third in the trilogy, is that he wants to actually do 9 acts to match the 9 Buddhism, the 9 virtues of Buddhism. And so that's what the next movie is going to be, 9. And so then he also decides he needs help, and then so he goes to the last scene is him going to the grave of Tracy to dig her up because he's going to have her as his partner in crime.
Are there actually 9 virtues of Buddhism? Or you just made up?
Some very limited sources say there's a... It's not very clear. Some say 11, some say different numbers. But one PDF I saw on the internet said 9. So that's what
was that like using. SamO'Neill.com /7?
I'm listed in the bibliography of it. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, got it.
It's very, very complex, but in a 2 to 3 hour movie, you can pull it off.
Yeah.
And what's the title of the final movie?
9.
Right.
That's why I chose.
And it's a Buddhist zombie monk.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So it's tracks. Part of it is going to be like a duo comedy movie with him working with Gwyneth Paltrow's character, And so the end of the movie is him going, "Wow, I never thought I'd be reattaching her head." And for some reason, he's got he's got the power to bring her back from the dead. And then a post, or mid-credits scene is him hauling her coffin onto the back of his ute. And then a security guard flashes in with his flashlight and goes, and then he goes, "Whoa, what's in the box?" And says, "I never thought I'd be shot over this a second time." And then
that's great. I love
that. That's really good.
Yeah, and extra points, and this is not a points round, but extra points for creating the third installment of the movie.
Thank you.
And I give you the Shia LaBeouf award that I just earned because that was good.
That was real good. Bennett, hit us up.
Oh, I'm next. So mine comes on the back of my... It doesn't come on the back of it at all. Mine follows on from...
Actually, I need a towel.
My M. Night Shyamalan twist ending. Yeah. It's a prequel to that movie.
Right.
Where we follow the junkie.
And remind us of what your M. Night Shyamalan was in, just quick.
So basically, Somerset was in on it. Him and John Doe were getting revenge against Detective Mills.
Got it.
So in my prequel, we follow the life of the junkie, basically. And his, they're his close brothers. He's close with his brother, John Doe, and best friends with Somerset. So Morgan Freeman reprises his role. And then in this one, Mills is the bad guy. Mills is the antagonist. He's only in it for a few minutes when he shows up and kills his brother. And then it follows the aftermath of that. John Doe's descent into madness after that. He was fine before he killed his brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, having a brother shot will do that too.
Let that sink in.
Yeah. So it's kind of all Brad Pitt's fault.
And Somerset, he gets depressed because his brother's, his best friend's just been killed, and he swears vengeance just like John Doe does, and then, leads into...
So the antagonist of the movie is in it for a split second.
Oh, yeah. It's basically just a love story, but with no romantic interest.
It's...
So he really knows what it's doing as a movie.
It sort of sounds like actually a kind of similar plot line to Joker, where it just kind of follows someone's descent in madness. And the antagonist is the Robert... I forget the name of the actor, but the...
From what?
Joker.
Yeah.
With
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah. And the antagonist is the...
Mr. Wayne.
The presenter. Of
Murray.
The presenter.
Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro.
Murray something.
Yeah. But he's barely in it. But he's the main antagonist. So that kind of is a similar
thing. True, yeah. And then everybody in the cinema that I was at cheered when he got shot to death because that was the main villain being vanquished, yeah.
I should add that Mills is the antagonist here because he... His version of the story of how he shot the junkie doesn't quite line up.
Oh, so he lied.
He did it more out of cold-blooded murder.
Yeah. And I guess that's what he was referencing in the car, John Doe, in Seven, how he was talking to Mills. John Doe was talking to Mills about if Mills got John Doe in a room by himself, he would and there's no consequences.
Yeah, because he knows what he's capable of.
Yeah, exactly. No, I like that.
Because he just spilled the beans on him.
So that's mine.
Bean juice is really hard to get out of your clothes. We all know that.
Nothing gets bean juice out.
All right, so mine is... I did one.
You were supposed to bring five.
Yeah. Well, the concept of mine is that it's a sequel, and Somerset is... it's a sequel, and Somerset's brought out of retirement to solve an imitation killer.
Ooh.
Who's killing people, but in the same theme as the Seven Dwarves. and as you watch the movie, it follows the same sequence as they realize that Somerset attends another murder, and there's a word scribbled somewhere in the murder scene, so there's dopey on the door, and it turns out this guy's been murdered because he was a kind of a 45 year old man he was quite a dumb guy, but he kind of won the lottery and had a really big, nice house. And John Doe put a skateboard on the top of the stairs, and he got out in a stupor and slips on the skateboard and kills himself that way, or gets killed that way.
Slippy.
So dopey. He's pretty dopey to do that. Then you got Bashful scribbling.
Bashes into death.
And he's a sex addict, and so he triple dosed his Viagra, and the killer does, and his penis explodes.
Wait, how does
mid-coitus.
the How does the bashful come into it?
That's a good question.
So does it chew up like a gum barrel from when like Bugs Bunny puts his finger in, what's his name, and just...
And oh, he, because he, yes, it does. And his face goes really red. And so it's like he gets, because I have, to be fair, I haven't thought this one through. I wrote this one on the way here. There's Grumpy, who dies in a road rage accident, gets killed in a road rage. So he really antagonizes him. And you know, this guy's a notorious road rage fiend. And he like, really, the killer really pushes him before he gets into a car, and then he dies in a road rage accident.
I'm going out like this.
He died doing what he loves. There's Sleepy, and this guy could sleep through, and he sleeps like a log. And so the killer takes him, puts him in a car, rolls him up in a carpet, still asleep, doesn't know, takes him out onto his boat, builds a raft, puts the raft in the middle of the ocean, puts the sleeping guy in, and then drives off. The guy wakes up in the middle of the ocean, and you assume he dies, or maybe he's cast away, or maybe he hooks a bunch of sea turtles together, but you don't know. You assume he dies. Sneezy, so this guy with really bad allergies, captures him in a similar kind of way, drugs him, leaves him in the middle of a sunflower field, but it's like the largest sunflower field in the world. It's like in Iran somewhere. It's a massive sunflower field.
Is this
and he can't, he just runs, it literally, it's like, it'd take him 24 hours to run out of there, and he'd take, in 23 hours, his allergies kill him, and so even at top speed, he's still doomed.
He's not getting there.
Does this sunflower field in Iran actually exist? Or
yes. Yes, don't Google it. As long as there's no follow-up questions, absolutely yes. Happy, so this guy who's a dentist, and he just turns the happy gas on for a certain period of time, and he dies that way. There's Doc. This doctor is he's been sued for malpractice a number of times, but he keeps getting out of it, changing his name, changing his identity, and then re-becoming it. A surgeon again. The villain basically puts a trapped breast implant into the doctor's chest and detonates it, and he dies from breast implant poisoning, which is
not the explosion.
No, it's a micro explosion. Oh, okay. To detonate the breast implant.
He does not want the actual explosion to kill him.
I thought it was a bomb.
The irony is really important. So yeah, that's it ends, and he's successful.
Okay, so what's the motive though? Did you say
that? It's an imitation killer, so he really admires and
copycat,
but he doesn't want to. He's a copycat killer, exactly. But he doesn't want to be derivative, so he wants to. He's like a little hat nod to John Doe,
and that's actually how the movie ends. He like nods to the screen, and like winks and walks.
I hadn't written the ending, but yeah, that's perfect.
And what's the title?
Oh, the title is Dwarf 7 Rapid Mix-Up Copycat Killer 2.
The movie.
All right, very good.
So that's that. Would you guys watch it?
Definitely.
Yeah, I'd check it out at least once.
You've got to do everything once, I'd say.
Got that.
The next segment we're tackling is called Alternative End Quote, which I thought was incredibly imaginative by Sam O'Neill. And we have to come up with a quote to end the movie.
Let's have Morgan Freeman's quote first.
Ernest Hemingway once wrote, "The world is a fine place and worth fighting for." I agree with the second part. So obviously agreeing with the fact that the world is worth fighting for.
Good.
Alright, so who wants to kick us off with their alternative quote?
Hayden does.
I haven't actually wrote it word for word, so it's going to be a bit aminari, and it's crap, so just heads up. Alright, so he's kind of him narrating kind of what happened next, kind of wrapping it up, kind of Happy Days style. I don't know if they did that nowadays, but you know what I mean. So it's Morgan Freeman saying, so I quit the force, and naturally I was a bit bored, so I joined the bots factory to keep myself busy. And it turned out I was a natural. I could make 10,000 boxes a day. But my biggest regret is I've never found a head in one of those boxes. And that's it. That's
if you're enjoying this, you might find that in the box.
Why does he want to find heads? Just in this scenario.
Because it's just scarred him. And he's expecting every time he opens a box, he wants to see a head in there. And for the first like couple of times at the box factory, opens up the box, kind of like really gingerly and afraid. There's never a box. Yeah. And that's kind of relief. But then it's Scott and he's like, but now I'm kind of expecting it. Like, I just want to see one to know what it's like again, to have that experience again.
Nothing compares to that rush.
Exactly. It's an adrenaline rush that he never got to experience again. So he's really like, you know, and the thing I liked about it, I don't really like it, but if I did like something about that quote, would be that it kind of really shows the impact of that moment he had on him for the rest of his life.
That would be good also if it was one of those like movies where they just flash like text below the character and it's still that character, like Morgan Freeman went on to work in a box factory.
That's kind of what I had in mind. Exactly. It's kind of like they used to do that in all the comedies, yeah, to wrap it up, but it's a really cheap way of doing it. It's like, rather than showing you, we'll just tell you. So yeah, that's kind of what I had in mind.
Yeah. I can follow that one with
something better, hopefully.
mine's just blatant copyright. I've got two options. One is, the original, just as a reminder, goes, the world is a beautiful place, roughly, and worth fighting for. I probably butchered it.
No, that's pretty much right.
I agree with the second part. And my other option for Morgan Freeman deliver is, somebody once told me, get busy living or get busy dying. I agree with the second part. And it just tells you, and maybe the, I don't know, it just kind of tells you what his plans are.
Yeah, they really missed an opportunity by not putting that in the original.
And what is it, just like, is it end with him like just cleaning his gun or something? Or like
just a panning across the city and a gunshot in the distance.
Or going to the rope factory or something.
He has to go to the whole factory, he can't just buy one.
Or him at the counter, like one rope.
I'm going to have to get this from the source.
Or if you want a much more upbeat one, you could go with just a really fun, friendly one. Seven colours make a rainbow, seven continents make our world, and seven letters spell out the word friends. So just a time for the word seven, just for like a hopeful ending. Just like, but him delivering that in his
mind. What's the last time. Line?
Seven letters spell out the word friends.
So just like trying to claim the word, the number back is like, it can mean other things. It doesn't have to mean seven deadly sins.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I guess it's really, you know, it's really a PR campaign for the number seven.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. They before they shot the film, they actually heavily invested their stocks in the number seven, and they were hoping for a big payout.
ASX listed seven.
Yeah. And as we all know, seven crashed for years to follow.
That's why there was no sequel. Yeah.
They've never fully recovered.
What do you got, Bennett?
All right, here's mine. So I wrote this immediately after the movie finished because something just resonated with me as soon as I heard the quote. All
right, expectations are back at 11 out of 7.
Oh, great. Even go 12.
I'll literally hold my breath.
Speak quickly, please.
So here it is. Shit in a bag. Shit in a bag, shit in a sandwich. It all tastes the same at the end of the day. So that really resonated with me. So I thought I'd just share that with you guys.
That's profound. Yeah.
I can and Morgan Freeman delivering it too. It's just like it's like next level.
Yeah. It's like just deep, like really deep voice. You know, really. Yeah. Why would you eat shit in a bag?
Because shit in a sandwich you can understand, but not shit in a bag. But you're not curious about why someone would eat shit in a sandwich.
Well, I mean, at least it's in, like, food form. And it's actually got some food there. But, like, you would never eat a bag. It's like, you wouldn't eat a sandwich
in a bag. Lots of food comes in a bag.
I guess but you take a bag. Yeah.
No, you pull it out with your hands.
Yeah, okay. I guess you wouldn't say that this plastic bag's really tainted my Lay's chips. Like, it's just the best.
But anyway, you're getting bogged down in details. You're not thinking of the deeper meaning.
If you just have bread and you need something as the filling, yeah.
Yeah, you should in that. And put sand in it. Shitty sand sandwich.
Yeah.
We might do all right on a desert island. Sign me up.
Well, no, that was... It's very profound. I mean, look, you know, I can imagine Morgan Freeman saying that.
Tell me you got that.
That wraps up. That's our last segment. So what do we think? What do we have a name for this? Out of the themes... What was the name? I was expecting it to be a bit the whole way through. It wasn't at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about it for a long time. And only just now remembered. So
what do we think? Is
shit in a bag.
Shit in a bag? What do you got?
Well, shit in a bag. Because I just heard it.
What have we learned over the course of this this podcast?
Not much.
Yeah. We'll get back to you on that, podcast audience. It could be the blurst of times. It could be... What was the other one we had before the podcast?
Are we getting that? Or did we get that?
Did we get that?
Are we rolling?
Something are we rolling the podcast? Think, did we get that? I don't think is one. So did we get that, the
tell
movie?
Tell me you got that.
Tell me you got that, the movie?
Yeah.
All right, guys. And we reserve our right to change this completely after for the next episode. But... we're going with, at the moment, Tell Me You Got That, the movie. That's the name of the podcast. I've been Hayden. You've been...
I've been Zach.
And you've been...
I've been Sam, but not anymore. That's and together... It's going to change.
Yeah.
And together we are... What's the podcast name?
What was it again?
Tell Me You Got That, the movie.
The movie.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Love you.
Tell me you got that.